concerned is want to count for a great deal. Men say, "You conferred a benefit upon me in that matter of the slave, but you did me an injury in the case of my father." Or, "You saved my son, but robbed me of a father." Similarly, he will follow up all other matters in which comparisons can be made, and if the difference be very slight, he will pretend not to notice it. Even though the difference be great, yet if the concession can be made without impairment of duty and loyalty, our good man will overlook that, provided the injury exclusively affects the good man himself. To sum up, the matter stands thus. The good man will be easygoing in striking a balance. He will allow too much to be set against his credit. He will be unwilling to pay a benefit by balancing the injury against it. The side towards which he will lean, the tendency which he will exhibit, is the desire to be under obligations for the favor, and the desire to make return therefor. For anyone who receives a benefit more gladly than he repays it is mistaken. By as much as he who pays is more light-hearted than he who borrows, by so much ought he to be more joyful who unburdens himself of the greatest debt, a benefit received, than he who incurs the greatest obligations. For ungrateful men make mistakes in this respect also. They have to pay their creditors both capital and interest. But they think that benefits are currency, which they can use without interest. So the debts grow through postponement, and the later the action is postponed, the more remains to be paid. A man is an ingrate if he repays a favor without interest. Therefore, interest also should be allowed for when you compare your receipts and your expenses. We should try by all means to be as grateful as possible. For gratitude is a good thing for ourselves, in a sense in which justice, that is commonly supposed to concern other persons, is not. Gratitude returns in large measure unto itself. There is not a man who, when he has benefited his neighbor, has not benefited himself. I do not mean for the reason that he whom you have aided will desire to aid you, or that he whom you have defended will desire to protect you, or that an example of good conduct returns in a circle to benefit the doer, just as examples of bad conduct recoil upon their authors, and as men find no pity if they suffer wrongs which they themselves have demonstrated the possibility of committing, but that the reward for all the virtues lies in the virtues themselves, for they are not practiced with a view to recompense. The wages of a good deed is to have done it. I am grateful not in order that my neighbor, provoked by the earlier act of kindness, may be more ready to benefit me, but simply in order that I may perform a most pleasant and beautiful act. I feel grateful, not because it profits me, but because it pleases me. And, to prove the truth of this to you, I declare that even if I may not be grateful, without seeming ungrateful, even if I am able to retain a benefit only by an act which resembles an injury, even so, I shall strive in the utmost calmness of spirit toward the purpose which honor demands in the very midst of disgrace. No one, I think, rates virtue higher or is more consecrated to virtue than he who has lost his reputation for being a good man in order to keep from losing the approval of his conscience. Thus, as I have said, your being grateful is more conducive to your own good than to your neighbor's good. For while your neighbor has had a common everyday experience, namely, receiving back the gift which he had bestowed, you have had a great experience, which is the outcome of an utterly happy condition of soul to have felt gratitude. For if wickedness makes men unhappy, and virtue makes men blessed, and if it is a virtue to be grateful, then the return which you have made is only the customary thing. But the thing to which you have attained is priceless. The consciousness of gratitude, which comes only to the soul that is divine and blessed. The opposite feeling to this, however, is immediately attended by the greatest unhappiness. No man, if he be ungrateful, will be unhappy in the future. I allow him no day of grace. He is unhappy forthwith. Let us, therefore, avoid being ungrateful, not for the sake of others, but for our own sakes. When we do wrong, only the least and lightest portion of it flows back upon our neighbor. The worst and, if I may use the term, the densest portion of it stays at home and troubles the owner. My master Attalus used to say, "Evil herself drinks the largest portion of her own poison." The poison, which serpents carry for the destruction of others, and secrete without harm to themselves, is not like this poison, for this sort is ruinous to the possessor. The ungrateful man tortures and torments himself. He hates the gifts which he has accepted, because he must make a return for them. And he tries to belittle their value, but he really enlarges and exaggerates the injuries which he has received. And what is more wretched than a man who forgets his benefits and clings to his injuries? Wisdom, on the other hand, lends grace to every benefit, and of her own free will commends it to her own favor, and delights her soul by continued recollection thereof. Evil men